You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet. Pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really, what's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to Oh, Behave on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we will be testing your feline trivia talents. So, just how well do you think you know cats? I sort of think of today's show as the feline version of Jeopardy. All right, I'm no Alex Trebek, and there won't be any Daily Double. There's no money, but there's a lot of priceless information that we're going to learn about cats today. And we're fortunate to have a couple of cool cats as guests, Sandy and Harry Corrin. Now, I have to confess, we have a connection. I teamed up with Sandy and Harry to write the just-released book, Planet Cat. Today, we're going to paw through some of its pages and share some facts on everything feline. Welcome, Sandy and Harry.
Hello.
Hi, Arden.
How's it going, guys?
Thanks for having us on the show.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm so excited. We're going to get right back to learning a little bit about Sandy and Harry after we take this break.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet with pet expert and author Sarah Wilson. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.fidofriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. As we mentioned, we have two cool cat guests. They are Sandy and Harry Corrin. They're a couple of talented authors from New Jersey, and they're proud pet parents of a cat named, naturally, Elvis. What we're going to do today is we're going to feature some fascinating and fun facts and folklore about felines, plucked right from the pages of their new book, Planet Cat.
Our new book.
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to confess. Okay, listeners, I'm going to cough up a hairball here. No, I'm just kidding. I actually helped them write this book, so that makes you even more motivated, I hope, to go out and dash right now and get a copy of this book. You know, it just came out in early November, and I did a little noodling around and found out it has cracked the top 25 on Amazon.com's cat bestseller list. That's not
so bad.
Pretty
good.
Yeah,
The cats did it. I want to start off by saying this. Harry and I are researchers. We've done Planet Dog. We've done Planet Cat. We've done the Big Book of Lists for Kids, and we've done books called College in a Can. And we're generally researchers, and we like to kind of enter a world, and like the world of cats, for instance, and just immerse ourselves in it, in the folklore, in the history, in the culture, in all of that. And we invited Arden to join the author team because we needed for this someone who really does know about cats. She is the cat expert. We, on the other hand, are the cat culturalists.
You just wanted me because I'm a good litter box scooper. That's what
I think we made a great team because this book really is all over the place. And I have to say, when we first came to this, I wanted so much to connect the whole world of cats and this vast, incredibly passionate history with this little baby lion that walks around my house. And I thought that after we finished the book, I'd be able to look at Elvis and just, you know, unlock all the mysteries of him and everything he does and everything he is. And you know what? After 1,000 pages of manuscript and researching and combing hundreds of books and hundreds of websites, I look at Elvis and he still just mystifies me.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about the ultimate feline mystique, with apologies to Betty Friedan, of course.
In fact, Arden, so many of the things that you taught us about cats are just not true of Elvis. Elvis, we guess, is probably part dog.
Well, he's part dog, and he's probably part singer. I mean, come on. You know, the name is Elvis. Well, we know a little bit about Sandy. Sandy actually has many talents. She is a top writer, editor, literary agent, book packager, and designer. And Harry, I love to tell, is a former dentist who now knows how to drill home great words and graphic designs. And they live in Haworth, New Jersey. Home, New Jersey is, to another famous cool cat named Bruce Springsteen. And since we're talking about trivia on this show and the book Planet Cat, I thought we might be able to share, if you don't mind, a little trivia about you and what's your connection with Bruce Springsteen and changing a tire in your driveway.
This has nothing to do with cats. I was Bruce's
He's a cool cat!
I was Bruce's art director for a very long time, and we worked very closely on various art projects and record packages. And Bruce came over here, you know, typically in the wintertime. It'd be really cold and started snowing one day, and his car needed a jump start. So, of course, we called the neighbors across the way to try to get them to help us. And they thought we were out of our minds, and we were just playing some kind of prank on them. And they said, oh, sure, we'll come over and help you. So they did, and there, sure enough, was Bruce Springsteen in the driveway waiting for his jump start. So now
awesome.
when we talk, our neighbors believe us.
Bruce actually does not come from Haworth, but Bruce has visited our home a number of times. In fact, there was one day when there was a peculiar odor in our kitchen, and we were having a difficult time figuring it out, and Bruce actually got down on his hands and knees and started sniffing. And came to the conclusion that it was cat piss, much to our embarrassment.
Wow, now that's a good guy. Well, I meant that he's from Jersey like you all. That's all.
Good,
I didn't know
good sport. He was a good
city.
Sport about it.
Smells like teen spirit.
I'm sure it wasn't Elvis. I'm sure it wasn't Elvis. All right, it's feline trivia time. Enough of this Bruce Springsteen stuff. We got to get into something that really matters, and that's the CAT world. We are talking to Sandy and Harry Korn, who were the co-authors with me on the book Planet Cat. And what we're going to do is offer some tidbits and treats from the pages of the book. And for all you dog lovers out there, you're in luck. Yes, Harry and Sandy also wrote Planet Dog. So who wants to start this fun, this folly, this fascinating world of felines? Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, the book has everything in it in terms of culture and history and ancient culture and ancient history and present culture and present history. It's also about the care and feeding of cats. And when we talk about Planet Cat, we're really talking about the space that we share with these animals. And this space is just so vast because cats are reflected in our history, in our art, in our paintings, in our music, in our advertising. We can't seem to buy anything unless there's a cat in the ad lately. And they seem to have had such an incredible effect on us overall. From, you know, the vast history of them to the individual cats who climb into our laps and just turn us into idiots.
Well, my cat Elvis certainly turned me into an idiot. Our history of cats actually began when our son brought home a stray, and we, of course, didn't really know what to make of it, and it didn't really work out all that well, but that led to another cat, and eventually we got this little kitten, Elvis, who just captured our hearts and wormed his way into our lives. and has now pretty much taken over our house. He's a special little critter.
He runs the place.
He runs the place. He's as friendly as can be, as sweet as can be. He's a little shadow. He's constantly underfoot.
And he loves to sit on top of stacks of Planet Cat.
Yes.
Well, he's like
the minute it came in.
And actually, during the writing of Planet Cat, he sat behind Sandy on the chair that she was sitting at her desk, and was kind of prodding her on. So I suppose, and somehow he knew what we were up to.
I have to tell you, I work on a variety of projects, but it seemed that only when I was working on the cat material did Elvis come into the office, just climb up into my lap, sit there and start purring and staring at me. And I even talk about this in the introduction because I really felt that the message I was getting from him was that he was saying that when you write about cats, you're not just writing about me and you're not just writing about, you know, cute little fur balls who hang from the curtains. You're writing about world history and you're writing about man from the very beginning of time. He really does. I mean, when I look at Elvis, I really do see the history of cats in his eyes. I think about, we have deified cats. We have mummified them. We have vilified them. We have worshipped them. There are, you know, cat goddesses going back to, you know, ancient Egyptian times. There are cat saints in the world. They just seem to climb into every part of our lives.
And they do it with dignity and class, if you know. They're not slobbering on you. They're not drooling on you. They're purring. They're giving you that soft eye wink. And I do agree. I'm glad that I like people, dogs, and cats. But there is something just magical and mystifying about cats.
Well, the gracefulness of them is amazing, and I think that's what's made them the darlings of artists much more than dogs have been. When we were doing the art part of this book and doing famous cat artists and famous dog artists from the dog book, it was so much easier to find references to great art and classic paintings where cats were concerned, because they really did pique the imagination of all sorts of artists and writers. For instance, we have long lists of the different writers in the world and who their cats were. Hemingway had many, many cats and eventually formed a sanctuary for them. But going back to writing, I think that cats know when we have writer's block. I think there's got to be a special part of their brains that wires them to us, because, as I said, whenever I sat there contemplating, Elvis would jump up into my lap. So I'm not surprised that Colette had cats and, you know, Hemingway had cats, and basically the great writers all did have cats.
Well, lucky for us, we have cats. Maybe one day we'll be great. I mean, I know when I'm writing Callie Murphy, well, all of a sudden just get between me and my computer screen and give me the wink and the purr throttle. And it's almost like it gave me time to take a break. And it's amazing when I go back to the keyboard, I have this clearness and clarity. So you know what? I think you're on to something there, Sandy.
Maybe because we take a break from the screen and look at the cat or you know, look at something that reminds us that we're in the world and we're not just sitting here putting words on the paper.
They also tend to keep you very honest. You know, you can't write something that you don't see in your own cat. For instance, I asked my cat one day why he breaks things, and he told me that he really doesn't. He just is allowing gravity to do its job. I asked him why he keeps shredding things up, and he says he's not a shredding machine. He's actually a hair relocation stylist. And I asked him why he's constantly on my lap, and he says, well, he's just bed selective. So he has his own reasons for doing things, and I've given him a lot of leeway and credence over the years, and have learned to pretty much accommodate to him and some of his desires. He's got very interesting ways of showing affection also. He's the kind of cat that when a plumber comes to our house, the plumber or electrician or whoever it might be invariably says, can I take your cat with me?
Yeah, we usually have to check the house for the cat after the service people have left.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we always ask them to check the back of their truck to make sure he hasn't jumped in to be with them.
You know, there was something I learned from Elvis just last week about a back staircase, and it's usually pretty dark back there at night. And typically when we open the door to go down that staircase, Elvis is sitting on the third or fourth step. And we used to think he was just waiting to trip us as we went down the stairs. And, you know, I would go to the step in front of him and say, Elvis, move. And he wouldn't move. He'd just sit there and look at me. And I realized that Elvis is such a graceful animal that, you know, he's able to walk around our china and, you know, on the tables and whatever. You know, he just kind of slithers in and out of these spaces and in between these objects. He never breaks anything. He's so graceful, and I think his message to me is walk around me.
Yeah.
You know, deal with it. And that's
pretty right.
Much the message
I
get from Elvis about life is just deal with it.
That's right. There are a lot of messages. In fact, in the book, we even have human habits that drive cats crazy. Because we need to be, we're only human after all, and there's some things that we are foible at. You know, for example, we play music way too loud. And for cats who can hear better than dogs, they can actually hear three times better than dogs. You know, when we pump up the volume, that really does hurt their ears. So, you know, I think you're very blessed
That's
to have
important.
Elvis in your life. What's
I think
that?
Another thing that a lot of people don't know is that whereas a dog's memory is about 5 minutes long, a cat's memory is actually 16 hours long.
Share a little more details on that. Is that, you know, so our listeners can hear why that is? Do you know why that is?
Well, I don't have that offhand, but I do know that cats are considered to be highly intelligent animals, much more so than dogs, and they even have a larger brain than dogs, comparatively speaking.
Yeah, they don't want to go fetch your newspaper. That doesn't show a sign of intelligence, but you're right. You know, if you don't compare a cat to a dog with their standards, I think you're right on target. Cats are very intelligent. You know, they just show their smarts in a different way than dogs.
They are. Plus, you can't get a team of cats to pull a sled. You know, only dogs will do that. Cats know better than to go out in the cold and line up and start dragging something through the snow.
No, but you can get a team of cats to have you pull them around, I bet.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you know, the thing about this book, Planet Cat, that I also really enjoy is that you can basically hit any page and be enriched and enlightened. I mean, one of my favorites is the one we did about the 40 cat superstitions, because a lot of times people think that, you know, a black cat that crosses your path is bad luck. But you even pluck out a quote from Groucho Marx, who says, a black cat crossing your path signifies that the animal's going somewhere.
You know, in England, a black cat crossing your path is considered good luck, because that means that the cat has taken the bad luck and passed you by.
See?
There are so many different interpretations of the same themes throughout, you know, throughout cat culture. Everyone has different ideas for why they're aloof and why they rub up against you and why they howl the way they do and why they behave the way they do with other cats. It's really hard in doing this, in doing a book like this, to nail down the true origins and the true facts surrounding various ideas. So what we do in Planet Cat is we try to kind of present all the ideas, and some of them it's up to you. You know, you decide if astrology for cats really makes sense to you, and you decide how, you know, the effect this animal is going to have on your life.
That's a good point, Sandy. We're listening to Sandy and Harry Korn, the co-authors with myself, on the new book, Planet Cat. We're going to take a break right now for these important messages, so stay tuned.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Attention, passengers. Please fasten your seatbelts, put your seatbacks and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah. So let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave.
Welcome back. You're listening to Oh Behave on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Today we have Sandy and Harry Corin, co-authors with myself of Planet Cat, a catalog. This is a book filled with more than 400 lists about cat culture, literature, fascinating facts, trivia, everything that is C-A-T, including the five cats who appeared on the Simpson TV show, which I'll give you a clue, listeners, many of them are named Snowball.
Actually, I think most of them are named Snowball.
That's right. That's right. I think people love their cats, and I wanted to ask you both a little bit about maybe share some of your favorite list and pluck from the pages of our book that we can share for our listeners that'll get them all tempted to go out and rush out and buy this book and share it with all their feline friends. And we do version Planet Dog, so the dog people out there, get that one.
This is for dog people. One of my favorite aspects of this book is all the wonderful quotes we found, things that people have said about dogs and cats. My favorite quote is an anonymous one that says, "A dog thinks, they feed me, they shelter me, they love me, they must be gods. A cat thinks, they feed me, they shelter me, they love me, I must be a god."
Bingo.
Bingo. Yes, that pretty much.
And they are little gods, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They are. I mean, I think you hit it on the head when throughout history they have been loved and loathed. And now I think they're back in the popular cycle again.
Yeah, Arden, this is one of the things that I found fascinating about researching this book is the degree to which our attitude towards cats has changed over the years. And the attitudes that people even to this day have about cats. And there are a lot of people who obviously love cats, but there are a lot of people who are fearful of them, don't understand them, and are actually will admit to hating cats. And it all stems from not being educated. And one of the things that we hope that we can do with Planet Cat is to show how you can go about understanding your cat by reading its body language, by the way it interacts with you, and getting a better understanding of this wonderful little animal that lives with you. And there's a very humorous list in our book called "Are You Sure You Want a Cat?" And this is sort of a test for people that if they're considering buying a cat, these are some steps that they can do. For instance, it's advised that if you're considering getting a cat, take some cold chicken noodle soup straight out of the can, splash it across your carpet and at the foot of your bed, and then walk in it with your socks on at night. If you can tolerate that, then chances are you might be happy with owning a cat. You might also put some cat hair on your best suits and see if that works for you. Also, put anything that's cat's toy size into a water bowl to let it marinate. Mm-hmm. And chew an eraser off of every pencil in your house and see if that doesn't inconvenience you too much. But on a more serious note, I was very shocked to read some statistics about euthanasia in this country. For instance, behavioral problems are the number one killer of pets in the country. 8 million pets are euthanized every year because of behavior problems. And between 50 and 70% of animals in shelters are there because their owners couldn't deal with the behavior problems. If you read Planet Cat, you will learn to understand how your cat functions, what he's all about, and with some luck and some love and some hard work, you can make your relationship work and become a great pet owner and a better person as a result of it.
You know, you can own a cat and have a cat as a companion or a dog or any animal for that matter and just enjoy the animal and interact with it. But when you know where this animal comes from and what he's all about and why he does the things he does, it makes that relationship so much more rich. And it's, you know, Arden, it's just another way to live life to the fullest and about the people we share the planet with.
It's also a way of for people who are not, who live in inner cities, who are not around trees or nature, to connect with nature on a daily basis. Here you have this little miracle running around your house that is just this wonder of nature and of God, and it just is a way of appreciating and connecting with a higher level of than the one that you're accustomed to living
in. Yeah, there are people out there who don't even have dead mice all over their house.
No, I know.
I don't know how they manage. I mean, you know, they have no connection to dead critters at all.
How boring!
It's just amazing, and they walk around, their clothes have no hair on them, and I don't know how they get along in this world.
Well, that's too sterile for me. Yeah, in the book Planet Cat, we actually devote a few pages to catitudes and explain how cats think. And the nice thing is that we tap the talents of experts. that are animal behaviorists and veterinarians and authors and cat trainers. We try to embrace everybody who understands cats to be sharing some of their insights. And I think you hit it on the head. Like, there's 31 body language signals, and we tell people what exactly they mean.
How to read their ears and how to read their tail positions.
Exactly.
Your cats are giving you messages all day long. They are talking to you. And it's up to cat owners to decide if you want to receive those messages.
That's right. That's right. And I'm really, like, for example, if a cat exposes its tummy, that's really a big compliment. That's a way of a cat saying, hey, I trust you. I'm showing you my most vulnerable side. And with cats, trust is really, really a precious commodity. They don't just dole it out to anybody that walks in. Even those guys that are your repair people that like Elvis. I don't think Elvis is showing his belly to them. He may show his belly
surprised.
To you, too.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Well, he's very
young. King.
Yeah, he is the king. That he is the king. So I like that part. And I also think that, you know, we want to have fun with this book, but you also want to take home some meaty advice. So in the book, we actually have a little bit of a some sanity to it. We start with the culture of cats, and then we get into some top cats that are in movies. And then we get really into the nitty-gritty of everything from head to tail about the cat's anatomy and behavior. We offer some training tips, and you know, I have written many books. I have never had so much fun as I have working on a book like this with the both of you. And I am so glad I got to come to Jersey and come to and meet Elvis the King, because you know I have a sweet spot for Elvis the two-legger. You know,
he's got a special place in a little heart for you. But I want to say that's a really incredible compliment, Arden, because your books are so entertaining and so informative. They're really an important part of any cat library. So for you to have joined us and to have brought some of that expertise into a book that's supposed to be, you know, basically fun is really a treat for us. I'm so flattered to have you join us.
You know, Arden, one of the things that we discovered when we worked on Planet Dog and Planet Cat is the willingness and the generosity of people in the dog and cat worlds. And one of the things that we did to honor that in both of the books is we spent some time and wrote about some of the people who were responsible over the years for the scientific developments that led to better dog and cat welfare. And that's something else that you'll find in Planet Cat and Planet Dog.
And also the people who promoted the showing of cats and dogs, who realized that bringing communities together was an important way to further the welfare of these animals.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I do applaud the fact that you did name some top veterinarians and pioneers in the world of both cats and dogs in both of your books, Planet Cat and Planet Dog, because as much fun as we have, we really want to have people to know what's going on with cats. One of my favorites, though, is the 17 gift ideas that you can give the cat who has everything.
And, okay, why don't you take that one, Arden?
Well, I like that one because you can actually spend $149 for a wedding dress custom for your cat, but of course the veil is extra, or you can dole out $389 to give your cat a mahogany sleigh bed, or spend another, you know, $125 for an outdoor pet gazebo tent.
Please don't ruin Elvis's Christmas surprise.
Oh, sorry, Elvis.
You're going to ruin the surprise, Arden.
But you know what? You know, I mean, everybody thinks dogs have great stuff, but I think cats, you know, we're just tapping into the commercialization of product giving for our cats.
Which I find a little strange because the fact that, I mean, I don't think Elvis has ever played with one toy I've ever brought him. He has this wonderful cat bed that's filled with about 50 different stuffed toys and catnip things and all sorts of things that squeak and, you know, roll and make sounds. But, you know, Elvis prefers my yarn basket and our laps. So,
well,
yeah, you can spend a lot of money on the cat who has everything. But the best thing you could give him is your love.
And your time. That's right. I agree.
And another cat.
Well, there were, you did, I don't know who did, which one of you did the topic on the 7 very wealthy cats. But, you know, there is a cat out there who was left in $1.1 million. The cat's name is Red, and the owner passed away, and he was kind of a reclusive guy named David Harper. And he stipulated in his will that, you know, his 3-year-old cat will have his needs taken care of through his estate for the rest of his life. Now, that's true cat love, I think.
There are a number of stories like that. There was one woman who wanted to be buried with her cat, and she couldn't because apparently there was some sort of law in the cemetery that she was not allowed to be buried with her animal. And the animal had died first. She wanted to have the cat buried there, and then she would be buried in the plot next to it. But they wouldn't allow that, so what she did was she had the cat cremated and sewed his ashes into her wedding dress and was buried in her wedding dress.
Now, there you go. The
so
power of
the cat,
cats.
There's a way.
That's right. That's right. And I learned, I'm not great in foreign languages, but I know gato, nico, and chat, la chat. I just did cat in Spanish, Japanese, and French, and you have 60 other ways of saying cat in different languages.
Yes.
Filipino, yes. Zulu, I can't remember some of them, but
that's I had to say meow in case you want to talk to your cat directly. If you've, you know, if you've got a Tibetan cat or something, you want to communicate with him in his own language, you can, you know, this book will help you do that too.
Oh, that's great. We did a section about 35 famous cat lovers, and people might be surprised to know that our current Pope Benedict XVI actually used to have cats, and obviously the Vatican just doesn't understand the power of cats, and they're not in the Vatican now, but he did have cats, right?
Well, that goes back to the history of the Christians really vilifying cats and demanding that they be killed, and this goes back to the era of the witch hunts and all that. But not only did they demand that all the cats be destroyed because they felt that they had some kind of pagan connection, but I believe it was the first Pope Gregory who ordained that it was important for good Christians to not only kill the cats but to inflict as much pain on them as possible.
Jeez.
And I wonder if years later the Vatican didn't suffer for, you know, was chagrined when they read that history and had to make up for it somewhere. But cats have snuck into the Vatican. I don't think they're officially they're not allowed. But I don't think you can keep a cat out of the Vatican, do you?
No, I don't. My money's on the cat.
I think that another interesting thing to note is not only who loved cats, but the sort of people that don't like cats. These are typically people who need to control every situation that they're in and can't take the idea that some creature will not do exactly what they bid them to do. People like Hitler, Mussolini, Napoleon, all famed cat haters. Gives you an indication as to the personality type.
That's a very good point.
Allurophobes.
Yes, allurophobes.
Yeah. That's a good word.
But I have to tell you, most allurophobes suffer from a hatred of cats because they had some awful experience when they were young. And those can be reversed. People who hate cats don't have to hate cats.
That's right. I agree. We know that not only is Pope Benedict XVI a famous cat lover, but he's got a pretty eclectic group like James Dean, Edgar Allan Poe, Marilyn Monroe, and my favorite is Sir Isaac Newton that we speak of in the book, that not only does he know a little thing about gravity, but he also invented the cat flap door, which is now, the kitty in and out.
Exactly.
So, you know,
and what about T.S. Eliot? Where would we be without cats?
That's right. We're listening to Sandy and Harry Korn. They are the co-authors with myself on the new book, Planet Cat. We are very happy to have them on the show today. We were talking about some of the more than 400 lists and pages in this book that tell you everything you want to know about cat from the beginning of time until now. Is there anything else you would like to mention before we sign off?
No, I just want to urge your listeners to learn as much as you can about the animals who inhabit your lives. It will make your life and their life so much richer. Planet Cat is one way to do that. Planet Dog is another way to do that. But listen to your animals and listen to what they have to say to you, because there is a world of information in those eyes.
And I just like to say, I'd like to quote our cat Elvis, who on the flap of the back cover of the book states, "When you write about cats, you write about the world." And it's true. It's just cats are reflected in every aspect of our history, and they've been just the most extraordinary examples of how to live a life that's full and rich and contribute. And like as Sandy said, learn as much as you can about cats and you will grow to love them as much as we have.
I couldn't say it better. We are listening to Harry and Sandy Korn, my co-authors of Planet Cat. That's it for today, folks. I wanted to thank them both for being on the show and my cool producer for making this show possible. If you'd like to know more about this show or get a transcript of the show or any other show on Pet Life Radio, please just go to PetLifeRadio.com and click on the Obehave Show. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show, please email me at Arden@PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.